Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Yeah, good evening and welcome to The Bench. It's Colm O'Sullivan with you until 7 o'clock on a jam-packed Saturday evening of sport. We'll have reaction very shortly to the Cork footballers' defeat to Kildare in the league today at Semple Stadium. We'll also go live to Semple Stadium to look ahead to the Cork Hurlers game against Tipperary this evening. That throws in at 7:30. We'll go live to Semple Stadium ahead of that. Good win for the Cork Camogie team over Tipperary today as well. Linda Mellerick will be joining us to chat about that. We'll reflect on Cork City's 0-0 draw with UCD last night. City captain Garrod Morrissey joins me. We'll look ahead to Cove Ramblers versus Shelburne this evening, and Ronnie Whelan will be here as well to talk about the FA Cup final and a big weekend in the Premier League, all coming up between now and 7 o'clock here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Yeah, good evening. It's Colm O'Sullivan with you. I'm here until 7 o'clock and my God, we got a load of stuff to get through tonight. Very, very busy show on the bench. As I said, the Cork footballers beaten earlier on today in Semple Stadium, part of that doubleheader with the Cork footballers and Cork hurlers both involved. The final score there was Kildare 2-12, Cork 14 points. So we will have reaction from that game a little bit later on in the show. The Cork hurlers in action against Tipperary as well tonight, of course, on the back of their great win against Waterford down in Porkeycueve last Sunday. So we'll go live to Semple Stadium and chat to Valerie live from Semple Stadium a little bit later on in just a few minutes in fact as well. And as I said, a good win for the Cork Camogie team today against Tipperary. Hopefully that might be an omen of what's to come when Cork and Tip do battle in the hurling later on this evening. The final score in that one, Cork 3-14, Tipperary 16 points in the Camogie. We'll have a full roundup of all the day's sport right now, and we'll start elsewhere in the Gaelic games because quite a few games on today. As I said, Cork were beaten by Kildare in the football 2-12 to 14 points. Elsewhere, champions Kerry hammered Galway 4-21. My God, what a win for Kerry. Champions Kerry hammering Galway 4-21 to 11 points in Tralee today in the opening round of the Alliance National Football League. And at the moment, it is level between Tyrone and Donegal and the Northwest Derby at Oma. We'll have more on that for you in the minute. Half seven thrown then, as we said, for you at Semple Stadium for the meeting of rivals Tipperary and Cork. And Dublin leading Laois 13 points to 11 at half time in their Division 1 Alliance National Hurling League game in Port Laois this evening as well. So we'll keep you up to date on those right throughout the show. In the Premier League, Leeds had the early game of the day against Burnley. 4-0 the final score in the first Premier League game of the day. Peter Smith was there.
Burnley 0, Leeds United 4. Mateus Klink got the scoring underway with a fine individual goal 5 minutes before half time. But Leeds really came alive after the break with flowing quality. Jack Harrison deflected in Ejan Alioski's shot on the hour before substitute Rodrigo claimed two magnificent goals. His first to dink over the keeper after turning between two defenders, with his second in as many minutes from an angle after an outstanding first touch. Burnley 0, Leeds United 4.
Then the second game of the day was Southampton up against Fulham. Fulham already relegated, so Southampton putting more misery on them. A 3-1 defeat for Fulham today at St Mary's. Alan Lewis was there.
It's finished. Southampton 3, Fulham 1. Southampton make it back-to-back 3-1 victories. It was all very comfortable at first. Shea Adams put them in front in the first half. Nathan Teller got a second less than 2 minutes after coming on as a substitute. But then suddenly Fulham woke up. Caviero and Bryan went close before 18-year-old Fabio Carvalho pulled a goal back on his first Premier League start for the club. But any hopes of a comeback were extinguished when Theo Walcott scored a third with just 8 minutes left. Southampton are ending the season strongly. They've beaten Fulham by 3-1.
Yeah, good win for Southampton there. The other game in the Premier League later on this evening is Brighton taking on West Ham. West Ham, of course, still chasing that. You know, it would be a dream for them to get into the top four and get the Champions League, and they might still do it. You'd never know. They're 6 points behind Chelsea with the game in hand as it stands, so nothing impossible about that, and stranger things have happened. Speaking of Chelsea, it is the FA Cup final at Wembley. Big, big game for Chelsea and Leicester. Half-time there at Wembley. It's Chelsea 0, Leicester 0. If Leicester were to win the FA Cup, it would be the first time in the club's history that they've ever won the trophy, which would be absolutely amazing. And it would be amazing as well if Jamie Vardy was to get the winning goal, because Jamie Vardy, Throughout his career, he has played in every round of the FA Cup because he played so long way down the leagues in non-league football. So like way through from right the preliminary rounds and the first round, second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round, so on. He's played in the quarterfinal, the semi-final with Leicester, but he's never played in a cup final before. So this is his first FA Cup final, and now means that he's one of the very, very few players ever in history to play in every single round of the FA Cup. And if he was to get the winning goal for Leicester today, it'd be quite the story, but it remains scoreless at halftime there. Chelsea nil, Leicester nil. Elsewhere then in Scotland, Rangers finished the Scottish Premiership season unbeaten today. Stephen Gerrard's side were crowned champions back in March, but they hammered Aberdeen 4-0 at Ibrox today, and they were presented with their medals and the trophy after the match. There's two games in the SSC Electricity League Premier Division this evening in the League of Ireland. They've just gotten underway. Shamrock Rovers up against Derry City at Talla, and just a few minutes gone in that game, still scoreless. And also a few minutes gone in Longford against Bowes, and scoreless in that game as well. As we mentioned, Camogie, a good win today for Cork, 3-14 to 16 points over Tip in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. It was the Littlewoods Ireland National Camogie League getting underway today, and Dublin were beaten by the All-Ireland champions Kilkenny in a scoreline of 1-8 to 6 points. Galway beat Clare 3-11 to 15 points, and as we said, Cork had that win down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh as well. And just finally for now, on our roundup in the golf, Seamus Power will tee off from 11 under par in Texas at 20 past 6, so in about 15 minutes time, for his third round in the Byron Nelson on the PGA Tour. He's in a tie for 11th and 6 shots behind halfway leader Sam Burns. Right, let's go to a busy, busy day at Semple Stadium, and we will have reaction very, very shortly to the Cork footballers defeat to Kildare in the Allianz National Football League. But the Allianz National Hurling League continues for Cork tonight. They got off to a great start last weekend. I was down there myself in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and it was a great win against Waterford. Cork scoring 5 goals in that game, so they'll be hoping to continue their winning ways against Tipperary this evening. And right now we're going to cross live to Semple Stadium. Valerie Wheeler is there. Valerie, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing? Colin, how are you keeping?
I'm great. You're out and about. More live matches again this weekend. It's great, isn't it?
I know. I don't know what to do with myself. I've dinners. I'm here for the double header, so I have dinners and I have snacks and I have bananas and I have apples. I have a big massive bag of food with me, so there's fear of me.
That's a proper GAA day, isn't it?
All I'm missing is the flask of tea now, Colin.
Exactly. Mentioned Cork's win last weekend. I was down there myself for Cork and Waterford for the bench last weekend on Sunday, and didn't really know what to expect from Cork going into the game, but certainly they put in a very, very good performance and a high scoring performance as well. Patrick Horgan, as we were talking about him last week, banging in the points, but all around from Cork, I mean, 5 goals. I can't remember the last time I saw Cork get 5 goals, so it was a good win to start off their season last week, and good to rack up some goals and points as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, to be honest, as you mentioned, no one really knew what to expect from any team last weekend, and I think we were all really hoping that Cork would get the win at home, because it was important to get a good start, because you're only trailing behind if you lose your first game, Colin. And I think everyone was really surprised to see how up for the match that Cork was. I think for years, you know, fans of Cork are looking for something special, and I think something like Sunday last week will definitely give them the support going forward and keep people interested. You did mention the goals. Like, there really haven't been goal scoring or goal scorers in the league over the last 2 years, but it's been great. It was great to see. I couldn't get over it. I wasn't working. At one stage I looked and I was like, are Cork after getting 5 goals? Like, to question it. But you know, it was, and I think it's really important that we did see that Kingston did use some new faces as well, and that they got their score on the board. And I think, you know, the proper and most important thing now, I think, tonight, Colm, is that that's consistent, and you know that they show up again tonight, and that it just wasn't a fluke the first day out.
That's vital. But just looking back firstly to last weekend for a second, Valerie, and well, you mentioned the goal scorers. I mean, 4 different goal scorers. So it was nice to see a spread of different guys getting the goals as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, it was. And that's important too, because like, you can't just, we mentioned it last week, you know, about relying on Patrick Horgan. And I think those players and even management answered our questions about, like, they're not just going to rely on Hoggy anymore, you know. And I think it's really good that we have seen other players put their hands up and to be able to get the goals, because like, for years we were relying on the likes of Seamus Harnedy, and when Seamus Harnedy wasn't doing it, who else was going to do it, you know? So I think having those on their getting their, especially their start to the league, you know. I think it was a huge start for Cork, and we're all very excited to see what's going to happen here tonight.
We are indeed, and you mentioned Patrick Horgan. Obviously, like, the goals kind of took the reliance off him a little bit, but he still got the vast majority of Cork's points. I think it was something like 13 points he got down there last week. So he was banging him in again, as we've come to expect.
I am not surprised. Look, he's absolutely a magician. Like, I just think that he is one of the best hurlers in the country. And, like, I will always have so much time for Patrick Horgan, because I always have that fear, Colin, that he'll never get the medal that he deserves, you know. And I think that it's important that people of Cork just realise how much of a great hurler he is. And I think people do. And I think people outside of Cork do as well. But, you know, when he just didn't have the team around him before to help him out, you know, that really wasn't standing to his case. So it's nice to see that there is a few other players around him now that can help him out. And that he himself is still, like, he's over 30, he's in his 30s now, Colin, and he's still able to perform like that. It's something else to watch, really.
It's great. And tonight it's Tipperary up in Semple Stadium, where you are right now, Valerie, and they're the opponents. And I mean, Tip is always a tough game for Cork, but Cork love going to Semple Stadium always as well, and they'll do so now, buoyed with that confidence of last week, won't they?
Yeah, and I think that's important, that they need to use those signs of the confidence now, and they need to drive on again tonight. As we mentioned earlier, that word consistent. Like, I'd love to be able to see Cork do the exact same thing they did last weekend against Waterford. It would absolutely be outrageous.
Yeah.
Looking at Tipperary, you know, Tipperary, you never know what happens at Tipperary. I feel like Tipperary is so unknown, and especially after last weekend. I was at the Tip and Limerick game.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you watched them last week, so what did you make of Tipperary last week?
I think Tipperary last week, Colin, they appeared to invest a bit more than usual against Limerick.
Mm.
I just thought, you know, and Liam Sheedy would have been very happy to go home with the draw, because it probably was a fair result in the end. But at the same time, I think Tipperary could have actually beaten Limerick last weekend. They didn't really need to let Limerick get back into it. So, like, Tip were good last weekend against Limerick, and, you know, those Cork and Tip, these two teams meeting rarely disappoint. I really do think that when Tip and Cork meet, they really disappoint. But it will be interesting to see now what's going to happen here tonight. Like, will, you know, there be many changes, last changes, I wonder, to the team. And I know Cork have made a few changes themselves. Kingston has made 4 changes to the team. Sean O'Leary, Hayes, Robert Downey, Shane Kingston and Alan Cadigan are coming into the side tonight. So even after a big win last weekend, Kingston is going, nah, I'm going to change it up a bit. See what's going to happen, you know. And it's nice, it's great to see him blood a few players throughout the league, see what to do. And making way, of course, is losing out is Sean O'Donoghue, Seamus Harnsey, Jack O'Connor and Shane Barrett. They came over Waterford last weekend, but they lose out this week.
Yeah,
you never know, there might be signs of them on the panel at some stage. I know there's two positions.
It's probably a little bit harsh, well, probably a little bit harsh on the lads from last week. I mean, but I suppose really what he's doing, Valerie, is, as you mentioned, he's using the league to blood players, and he's changing things around, and he's trying to get as many guys up to speed as possible, I suppose, really, isn't he? And they can do so now after getting the win last week.
Yeah, they can. And to be honest, like, it's now more than ever you can do that, because, Colin, you can't be doing that the first round of championship, but here, I'll throw him in here for the crack and see how he gets on. Like, Kingston will want to have his team nailed
absolutely
down come championship time. So it's now more than ever, because people are questioning whether the league means anything to anyone this year. Who knows whether it does, but I do think that it's an important marking ground for players to be able to get their chance to shine. And hopefully now that these, like, Kingston will give a few more lads over the next couple of weeks a chance also.
What do you make of, kind of, if we look a bit ahead, I mean, even beyond tonight's game and in towards championship season and things, do you think we can judge anything from what we saw of Cork last week? Do you think it'll be a good sign for the season to come? Or do you think an opening league game is something you can't really judge it on?
I think you should ask that question after tonight.
We wait for the second one, so.
They fared in Tipperary and see was the Waterford game just a total fluke at the start, where Waterford really bad. But if Cork put in a huge performance here and beat Tipperary tonight, that'll be 2 wins now, too. And that'll be huge confidence going forward, you know. And I think heading into the championship, like, we've got the fixtures during the week, we've got the dates. I mean, like, it's very exciting, Colin.
Very exciting,
some people listening now that probably are not into hurling or whatever, like, will she calm down? But, you know, Limerick are out to, or Cork are out to Limerick on the 3rd of June. So, like, they haven't long, realistically, Colin, and they're in a and they're in a semi-final of the Munster Championship. So that'll also be a massive game. So I think now, more so than ever, that Kingston will be delighted just to get a few players out there. But if they continue this run, will they be able to last in? You know, will they tire out come championship season? You don't want to be given too much in the league either, Colin, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. It's an exciting summer at GAA ahead, and I mean, it's great to have it back, Valerie, and it's great, as we said last week, to be able to go to the games. You're there today, I was there last week, and you were start some games last week as well. It's just very, very exciting for the players and so on. And we're hoping, fingers crossed, that we get some fans back there soon as well, aren't we? Because yeah, I thought Porky Cui was strange empty last week.
Minister Catherine Martin last week mentioned that she'd like to do a few pilot events in June, and like, who knows, maybe it could be a Munster Championship game, and who knows, maybe you could have 1,000 or 2,000 people in there. I mean, there's millions of people vaccinated now at the moment, so what's stopping us from throwing in a few vaccinated people there, or even family members that would be used to being around the players and stuff? But like, it's just great to see. My father was vaccinated on Friday, Colm, and I know he's itching to get back to a game, so I feel like he'll be hot in my heels if there's fans allowed back in the stadium.
You know, it's fantastic, because I think my own parents were vaccinated as well in the past couple of weeks, and I think it's a huge weight off everyone's minds then, family and friends and everything, for the people themselves, and people want to get back out now and get to events. And if we're looking at the UK, Valerie, and they're kind of leading the way, I mean, there's 20,000 people today in Wembley at the moment at the FA Cup final. So I mean, if that all goes well over there, then they'll start saying, here, right, we can get people back into stadiums for the championship at some stage later on in the championship. Obviously not full crowds, but get maybe a couple of thousand in there, and then back maybe at League of Ireland games and rugby games, and you'd hope maybe by autumn then we'll have fans back in all the stadiums.
Yeah, look, I think it'd be a welcome return. The game is really not the same without it, you know. It's very strange. It's very eerie. They kind of feel like a bit like you're in, sometimes if the match isn't too great, Colm, I'm not being smart now, but you feel like you're just at a training session. And that's not good either, you know. That's not a good spectacle for us. And I don't know, I haven't seen many of them on TV now, but I suppose you don't miss it as much if you're sitting at home watching down television. You don't really miss the atmosphere as much, but I know when you're sitting in the stand, you'll know yourself after being in a big, massive stadium like Parky Creed this weekend and here in Turles against Dice, you will notice that crowd mixing.
You certainly do. As you said, like, it can feel like a training session just at the empty stadium. Something feels wrong without the fans there. But Valerie, just to wrap up, so Cork and Tip kicking off or throwing in, sorry, at 7:30 this evening. If you had to call it now, if I had to get a prediction off you, would you be bold enough to make a prediction?
I will be bold enough to make a prediction, and I would like to go, my verdict this week, Colm, is going to be Cork.
Fantastic. I like your confidence. I like your style. All right. Hopefully it is a Cork win.
Cork by about 4 points.
That'll do. That'll do, Gran. Cork by about 4 points. Valerie up in Semple Stadium ahead of the Cork game getting underway in just over an hour's time there at 7:30. Listen, Valerie, enjoy the game, and we'll chat to you soon, all right?
Cheers, Colm.
And earlier in Semple Stadium, things weren't great for the Cork footballers. They were beaten by Kildare in their opening league game in the Allianz National Football League. Kildare 2-12, Cork 14 points was the final score in that game. Valerie was at that match earlier as well. And afterwards, she went to the press conference and amongst the other journalists caught up with Rona McCarthy, the Cork football manager, who was understandably disappointed with the results.
With the defeat, I think in a 7-round National League, the first game is always important. In a 3-round, you know, it's even more important. So everybody wanted to get off to a good start, and it's disappointing to lose the game. We did a great stuff for 20-25 minutes, didn't translate on the scoreboard, which was probably the most disappointing part of it. And then, you know, the two, I suppose, quick fire goals, you know, put us under pressure. So we tried to get back, but we left ourselves a lot to do. But it's supposed to be great in the first half. You know, look, they're a good side and they're a very shrewd manager, and you know, they're probably a bit further down the line than us, but I thought we looked a really good side in that opening period. And you know, mixed up play well between hitting on the counter attack and, you know, being patient. Kevin Russell got a great score at one point where we kept the ball for, I'd say, 2 minutes, but then we started kind of snatching at chances. And you know, certainly I didn't feel the scoreboard half, and we should have been behind, you know. I mean, I feel we should have been, you know, 3 or 4 points ahead.
Ron, it's a case of just building on that first 25 minutes. Are there the positives you can take into next week?
But the nature of the job is you're always trying to look at positives, but I mean, you can't shy away from the negatives either, which is that they had a period where they dominated the game there for a period in the second half in particular. And you know, yeah, look, one of the goals came off a crossfield ball, and I think it was a mistake of our own. But we left ourselves a lot to do, but you know, we couldn't have any complaint based on the second half. Even though we worked hard trying to get back into it, we never looked like scoring a goal, really. So I think, yeah, of course, we emphasise the positives going into the game next week, but we don't shy away from the negative either.
And it makes it very hard now to come out of this group in another tough match next Saturday up in Portlaoise.
to win your two remaining games, you come out of it. But they're both tough games, and they're both away from home. And but that's the nature of it. It's Division Two, and you know, it's probably the most competitive division that's there. And That's it, you just face the next challenge.
That is Cork football manager Ronan McCarthy there, reflecting on their defeat today to Kildare in the National Football League. The final score there, as we said, Cork 14 points, Kildare 2-12. A man who was much happier was Kildare boss Jack O'Connor, and Valerie caught up with him at the press conference afterwards as well.
Yeah, well, delighted with the last three quarters of the game. You know, we didn't start great. No, Cork kicked the first 3 points and looked very comfortable with the game they were playing. They ran and they had overlaps. So it took us about 15 minutes to get to grips with them. But I thought after that we started controlling the game and kind of played it on our terms. We were able to get bodies back, turn them over and play on the break, which was great from our point of view. And we went in at half time a point up, not having played great in my estimation. Cork were a bit unlucky that they weren't at least level, if not ahead at half time, because they missed a fair few chances down there. So second half, we said to the boys at half time that we could play a lot better than that, and in the second half we did. And pleasing thing for me is there was great fight in the team today. They fought like tigers for every ball, and particularly in the tackling, you know, we tackled in twos and threes and showed great desire. And look, we won't get carried away with one day, but it just gives us confidence that we're going the right direction. That's all.
Defensively, Jack, it was clear how you were set up, and to the extent to which you frustrated Cork. How much was that influenced by what happened in your most recent competitive outing last year?
Well, thanks for reminding me of that one. No, look, Jesus, lads, we were awful disappointed coming out of Croke Park. We thought we had played well in the first half against Meath, and then the Suez Canal opened up in the second half, and we just left them run through us. So look, obviously it's been influenced a little bit by that. We were trying to get better defensively. We didn't have a huge amount of time to work with the lads last year. I think we had 2 weeks after the club season to get all the players together, so it wasn't easy work on stuff. We've had a bit more time. We've had 4 weeks this time, and I thought we were solid. I don't think we gave away too many goal chances, never mind goals. So yeah, to answer your question, I think it was influenced a bit.
Jack, Derek Irwin and Jimmy Hoyland really grew into that game as it went on. Is that particularly pleasing? Or?
Oh, they're two good young players, and they have a good chemistry between them. Now, Daniel Flynn was on fire early on. It was just an awful pity he had to go off. So we just hope Daniel now isn't too bad. Looks like he's a bit of a hamstring twinge, so we'll assess him. But he kept us actually in the game early on in the first 20 minutes. He kept us in the game. So, but the boys grew up inside. They're two young lads, and they played well together. And Neil Flynn gave us a nice focal point as well when he came on and used the ball very well.
In the short format, how important is a win? Like, can you start thinking about promotion?
It was crucial, of course. The first game was crucial because, like, you're on the back foot if you don't win that one, and sure, it keeps us in the hunt to get another game in the semi-finals or whatever they call them. I'm not too sure what they call them. All right, guys.
That is Kildare boss Jack O'Connor, nice and happy after his win over Cork today. Cork 14 points, Kildare 2-12, the final score there. Now, as we mentioned a little while ago, chatting to Valerie, Cork and Tip doing battle in the hurling tonight in the Allianz National Hurling League. But earlier on today, Cork and Tip did battle in the Camogie in the first game of the National Camogie League. And Cork, hopefully it's a good omen for Cork versus Tip later in the hurling. Hopefully it's a good sign. Cork had got off to a winning start there, 3-14 to 16 points, the final score there for the Cork Camogie team. A great win for them. I'm joined now by legendary Cork Camogie star Linda Mellerick, and Linda was at the game today. How are you, Linda?
I'm good, thanks, Colm. How are you?
Very good. And as I said, a good win for Cork today, and a nice scoreline as well.
It was, Colm. It was a very impressive performance, actually, for their first day out. You know, I think everyone's a bit rusty, and I was very impressed with Cork. They were lively and fluid. They had some very good passes. I was very impressed with their fitness levels. They were well deserving of their win. Probably should have won by more. Tipperary came back with 5 points there in the last quarter. you know, Cork made substitutes and maybe they were starting to tire a bit. But overall, a very good performance by Cork, you know, considering, you know, a lot of new faces as well being selected today.
How did the new faces fit in, do you think? Obviously, just the first game.
You know, we did fine. It's a big step up. It's going to take time. Ashling Egan was there in full back, and Ciara O'Sullivan was left half forward, and then the likes of Isabel O'Regan, Isabel Sheen from the minors came up and got on there in the last few minutes. So, you know, it's going to take time. But, you know, a good baptism for them today, I think.
Apparently they had a very nice style of play as well today. Did very, very well. And a lot of people on Twitter kind of commenting on their style of play that it was very impressive.
Yes, it was very impressive. I think their work rate was great. And you know what I liked about it as well, Cullum, that they varied it a bit. You know, they had their short running passing game, but they also took some good long distance strikes. Some of them fell short into the keeper's hands, but you know, it's early days and that's to be expected. But you know, I thought they varied it well. They really had Tipperary sixes and sevens at the time with the fluency of their play. And I thought, you know, Laura Tracy, half-back line were great. Laura Tracy was excellent at centre-back. And Katrina Mackey and Ashling Thompson were outstanding in the middle of the field. They got 5 points between them. Some of them lovely points from distance. So, you know, I was impressed with the performance first day out.
I suppose it was vital for the players and really kind of just great for the players, I suppose, more than anything to finally get back on the pitch, Linda. I mean, it's been a long old layoff.
It is. And, you know, you can have all the Zoom training sessions you want. You can do all the 5Ks you want. But it's nothing like, you know, getting out there and having the intensity of competition. And I'm sure every player that took to the pitch today and every code was just buzzing to get back there. And certainly you could see a spring in Cork step today, and you could tell that they were enjoying themselves.
And how do you think Cork is shaping up now after seeing them today for the first time this season? How do you think they're shaping up for the season overall?
Well, you know, it's going to take time. You know, I think, as I said, you know, they probably have around 10 seasoned campaigners after that. They, you know, they're young and inexperienced. I think the average age after that is about 20. So they, you know, their panel is young overall. If you look through the subs, you know, not a big name's gone. You know, the good thing about today is that they're now through to a quarter final. So they'll play Waterford in 2 weeks' time, and then they'll have a quarter final. So, you know, that's the more games, the better. And from that point of view, I think the management will be happy.
Absolutely. A good win and a good start to the season for Cork today. Linda Mellerick, thanks a million for joining us.
Not at all, Cullum. Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you later. Okay, that is Linda Mellerick there reflecting on Cork Camogie's win over Tipperary today down in Porkeycueve earlier on this afternoon. A great win and a great start to the league campaign for Cork in the Camogie. As we said, the Cork hurlers a great start last week. Hopefully they can continue that tonight against Tipperary. It's a 7:30 throw-in. That game is live on television on RTE as well. They have live coverage of that game if you want to watch it later on tonight. And we'll have all the reaction to that match here on the big red bench with Rory in the hot seat tomorrow evening from 6 p.m. Now, it is FA Cup final day. Not sure if the FA Cup still holds quite as much prestige and razzmatazz and glamour as it did maybe 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, but it is still a trophy and it is still a big trophy. And it's Chelsea and Leicester in the final at Wembley at the moment. And the score there at half time still at Wembley, Chelsea 0, Leicester 0. Leicester hoping to win the trophy for the first time in their history. Can they do it? We'll find out more than likely in the next 45 minutes, certainly in the next hour or so anyway, and we'll keep you up to date on the scoreline there of how Chelsea and Leicester are getting on in front of 22,000 fans today. Isn't that brilliant? 22,000 fans in Wembley. Absolutely fantastic. Hopefully we can go down that route and get the fans into stadiums and into grounds here pretty soon as well. Right, we're going to take a break, and then on the way we are talking about Cork City. Cork City captain Garrod Morrissey will be joining me live to reflect on last night's 0-0 draw up in Dublin against league leaders or joint league leaders UCD. We'll also look ahead to Cove Ramblers versus Shelburne in the First Division down in St. Coleman's Park tonight. And the one and only, the legendary Ronnie Whelan will be here looking ahead to all the weekend's football, the rest of it at least, and reflecting on Man City being crowned champions and so on during the week as well. So all that, plenty more to come here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Miss the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Yeah, it is the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Red FM. It's Cullum O'Sullivan with you until 7 o'clock. Just keeping you up to date, as we said, on the FA Cup final. And it is halftime there at Wembley. And the score remains. It is Chelsea 0, Leicester City 0 in that game there. Big, big game for both sides. Obviously, Leicester hoping to win the trophy for the first time in their history, as I said a little while ago. Now, we're going to be talking football closer to home right now. And in a few minutes, we're looking ahead to big game for Cove Ramblers down in St. Coleman's Park this evening. They're taking on league leaders Shelburne, or at least joint league leaders Shelburne. And last night, Cork City took on the other joint league leaders in the First Division, UCD, up at the Belfield Bowl in Dublin. And it finished Cork City 0, UCD 0. A valuable point for Cork City in a game. They had plenty of chances to win. Cork City put in a very good performance last night. I'm joined now by Cork City captain Garrod Morrissey. Garrod, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Colin.
No worries. Good to get back on the pitch last night, I suppose, anyway, for you.
Yeah, 100%. It's been a while now for me. I picked up a calf injury and I've been out now, so it's been maybe just over a month kind of a thing. I've been working hard now with the physios and stuff and, you know, getting back involved with the lads last week in training, so I'm delighted to actually get back on the pitch last night and get a couple of minutes, albeit just more than a half or 45 or what it was.
Absolutely. And as I said, a point on the road against UCD. Were you happy with the result? You had plenty of chances to win the game as well, so it was a good performance.
It was a very good performance. And we're building the whole time. So, you know, it takes a while and I think we're getting there. And, you know, Colin, in the training ground, we're working hard and we're working on things. And it just takes time for everybody to kind of get on the same page. And, you know, we've in the last three games, we've been solid defensively and with the Bray game and then the Wexford game, we added goals to that. Last night, we could have added goals. It was just we had the better chances of the game. So, you know, it's probably, from our point of view, it's probably 2 points dropped. And they're top of the table. So that's just the way it is at the moment. But no, we're working hard. And like I said, we've been building the whole time and we're getting there. So, look, we're solid defensively, 3 clean sheets. We're buzzing with that. And there's goals. We have a belief now that we can score goals. So I think, we're really positive going forward.
I was watching it myself last night and I thought you played very well. And I mean, I'd agree with what you're saying. Maybe it was 2 points dropped. But that's a very positive thing to be saying now, Garrod, to look at it like that and say, geez, we wish we got the 3 points. Because only a few weeks ago, it was a bad run of results. And now you've totally turned that around in the last couple of weeks. And you got the draw on Bray, big, big win against Wexford then as well. And a point last night, but it was a game you could have won. So I mean, things are certainly turning around, aren't they?
Yeah, look, and like as I was saying there, like Colin's constantly drilling into us that it's, you know, the amount of how hard you need to work in this division to get a result. And look, we're doing it week in, week out now, and we're putting in the shift. And look at the stats, it just wasn't happening for us. But we're seeing now, the harder we work, the rewards we get for it. Like, albeit a point, and 3 points last week. It's but look, there's no easy game in this division, because you know. A game can be flipped on its head in a second here. There's a massive battle to be played in the First Division in every game, more so than the Premier Division, I think, where it can be, there's a lot more football to be played, whereas the First Division, there's a lot of battling goes on, and pitches can be tricky and stuff, for both teams, we're working on that, and you have to take all that into account. So like I said, no, Colm, I think the way we're going, and we're well drilled, and we know the graph that's required to get any sort of result from a game. And look, the last three games have been fantastic. The boys have been brilliant. I've been involved in the one last night. It's taken a while, but we're getting there, and slowly but surely. But look, you've an unbelievable bunch of honest lads, honest staff. You know, the passion. We all know what it's about. There's no lack of effort. Everybody's giving it socks. So to be turning things around slowly but surely, it's a massive positive at the moment. Yeah,
absolutely. And you mentioned how tough the First Division is and kind of how tight a league it is. I mean, from your perspective, I suppose, a guy who's looking at it, who's played
a lot of games in the Premier Division over the years, and you're looking at the First Division and you're seeing every week, you can't, it's very hard to predict games. You're kind of going, this team is taking points off the other team, and it doesn't matter where teams are in the league, maybe apart from Wexford, who are down at the bottom, all the other teams are all taking points off each other. I mean, it's really, really tight, and every game is a massive battle, isn't it?
100%, because like I said, there's it's not just football comes into it in the First Division. There's huge amounts of I'd call it crash bang wallop, like, you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, there's tackles flying in, and the pitches mightn't be great, and you know, the conditions, it's I suppose the Premier Division is a lot nicer, so like in that respect, in terms of pitches and, you know, football played. So, you know, it's not always football that dictates the results in the First Division, as we've learned in the opening games, because like we've had a lot more of the possession and we've had a lot more of the nicer football, you would say. But I suppose when it came to the nitty gritty of it, we kind of lost out, and that's probably why we didn't pick up the results we should have early on. But look, we're getting to grips with that now, and we realise how much of an absolute battle it is, you know, and that's what's required, and you know, and then, you know, you do that bit, you earn the right to play it, and you hope you have the quality to win the game then and score goals.
I mean, you mentioned the three clean sheets on the bounce. Fantastic to get three clean sheets in a row in the First Division, Gerard. And it shows how really the side is very solid defensively now. And last night, going forward, creating a lot of chances, maybe a lot more chances than were created in some of the other games. So you have the defence kind of looks like it's sorted now. So the next step is to bang in a few of the goals, I suppose. And that's what you'll probably be working on.
Yeah, look, 100%. You give yourself a chance as long as you're defensively solid. And, you know, credit to Mark McNulty. You know, he's commanding the defence back there. Yeah. And, you know, and the defence, the back four, they've been fantastic. You know, it's not just back four, it's a whole team. Everybody's getting back there. But, you know, they've been, the communication and the rest of it is from the first game to now, with, you know, there's no comparison. You know, we're at it, like, and, you know, we're becoming a bit, you know, a bit more solid and a bit more, the defending is a bit more assured. So I think, like you said, we're kind of getting there with that. And I think in the Wexford game, we got both right, you know, solid defensively and scoring goals. So I think, like you said, it's look at the goal scoring now too. And like it's a case of being in the box and just putting the chances away, being that bit more clinical. Because like you said, I think last night we got both right as well, but we just didn't score a goal. You know, we just need to add goals and just that little bit, be that little bit more clinical, I suppose, up top, and where we'll be looking all right, like, you know.
Back at the Cross now on Friday night, Gerard. Big game against Galway, who got a late winner against Wexford last night. And obviously it's John Caulfield back at Turner's Cross as well. It'll be nice to see John back at the Cross, but it'll be strange to have him in an opposition dugout, won't it?
Yeah, very strange for all of us, I'd imagine, and the fans, and, you know, but it adds to it, like, it's massive, you know. There'll be... this week will take care of itself. There'll be huge expectation, good build up, you know. And John and Colin, and you know, we're all very familiar with each other. We all, you know, great time and respect for each other. But look, coming down to Friday night, you know, it's going to be a really big game. And as you said, at the Cross, we're really looking forward to it. And suppose like it's one of them ones again. The only negative is that there's no fans there, you know, because it'd be another occasion that could be absolutely fantastic in terms of atmosphere and stuff. But look, we know the fans are there. We know they're in the background backing us, and you know, we go Friday night, and you know, it's like us against Galway, they're you know, they have a good team. You know, they have a good team, probably not doing as well as they should be, but they have a good team. So it's going to be a big game. We know how tough a task it's going to be, and you know, no doubt Colin will be on it with us this week with Cairns and Nuts.
Just finally, Gerard, you mentioned the fans. We're all missing the fans in Turner's Cross and the atmosphere and so on. Do you think the lack of fans has affected Cork City more than other clubs? I mean, a lot of clubs in the First Division, let's be honest, wouldn't have a whole lot of fans there anyway. Watching the game in UCD last night, I mean, it looked like a normal night in Belfield. There wouldn't be many there anyway. So, I mean, it affects Cork City more, doesn't it, having that missing that home crowd?
I totally get your point, and I do agree with it 100%. We would have, you know, Cork City without the fans, you know, it's a fortress. It's a fortress at the, you know, in true history, it's always been, with the fans, the atmosphere, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're, you know, it could be nil all there at 70, and all of a sudden the fans get going, it gees you up. It does, like, and I know it's cliche and all the rest of it with that 12th man, and but it actually does, like, you know, I don't know how many times I've been on the pitch, you know, fans start chanting your name or whatever it is.
Like, that's obviously a great feeling, and it kind of gets you going a bit, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It gives you a boost, and even match day, the match day experience, when you come in the gate and you see the fans and all the rest of it, it's fantastic, and it gets you going, and it gees you up. So, look, I think it is a valid point. We are probably missing them more than other clubs in the First Division, and can't wait to have them back, to be honest.
Definitely. Hopefully they're back at some stage over the summer. Listen, Garo, thanks a million for chatting to us, and best of luck on Friday night. We'll see you at the Cross on Friday, right?
Appreciate it, Colin. Thanks for having me.
Nice one. That's Cork City captain Garo Morrissey talking about their nil-nil draw with UCD last night, and of course looking ahead to that game in Turners Cross on Friday night. John Caulfield, now managing Galway, returning to Turners Cross for the first time as an opposition manager, going up against Cork City for, I'd imagine it's the first time in John Caulfield's career ever as a player or manager going up against Cork City, but hopefully Cork City can get a win on Friday night and continue what's turning into a bit of an unbeaten run, unbeaten in three games at least now anyway, and three clean sheets in a row as well. So just update you actually, cross channel, there's been a goal in the FA Cup final. Tielemans has put Leicester 1-0 up against Chelsea. So Leicester could be about to win the FA Cup for the first time in the club's history. Wouldn't that be absolutely amazing? I mean, they won the Premier League about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago now at this stage. And to win the FA Cup again, it's an incredible era for Leicester. And Brendan Rodgers doing a great job there. So it would be nice to see them win that. I'd like to see Leicester win the FA Cup now today, and then Chelsea to win the Champions League in a couple of weeks. And no trophies for Man City. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Right, so we'll keep you up to date on that. There's still over 20 minutes left in that FA Cup final there at Wembley, so plenty could change in that game. We'll keep you up to date, as I said. We're going to chat to Ronnie Whelan in a few minutes as well. We'll hear his views on Man City winning the Premier League and looking ahead to the rest of the weekend's games as well. But right now we're going to stick with League of Ireland, and the other team who are joined top of the First Division are Shelburne, and Shelburne could actually pull 3 points clear at the top of the First Division if they win tonight. But Cove Ramblers are their opponents down in St. Coleman's Park in Cove. And during the week, Rory was talking to Stuart Ashton, the Cove manager, and also Ramblers midfielder Darren Murphy, chatting to Roar in the press conference during the week.
Yeah, they know that they have to be at it, especially as you're saying, the so-called one of the big teams, you know. But in all the games we play, we know we have to be at it, and we have to be on the top of our form. And when we do that, we've matched teams, you know. And you know, from that point of view, you know, last week as well, we matched them all the way, you know, 88th minute, and we gave something silly away, and it's cost us. And you know, the lads have to put that right first and foremost. And as I said already, we spoke about it as a group. We've all agreed on the way forward from it. You know, the camp is good. The spirits are high because, you know, we know that if we cut those out, our performances have been good. Yes, we need to convert a few opportunities that we're creating, but we believe we can do that. So, you know, the camp is good. The spirits are high. We just have to, as I keep saying, we just have to, in my own words to the lads, know when and where to play, know when to be, you know, a dirty side of the game, they call it these days. So that's my talk to them, you know, that we need to do that, and when and where to do it, when to have the game management brought in, you know. So, as I said, we've had that as a group. We've agreed on it as a group. So hopefully moving forward from here on in, we can start putting those into place, you know.
Yeah, I think for us now, it's just starting to get a bit frustrating because we are playing well and all that and playing good football, but I think it's starting to get to a stage now where we need to just start getting points on the table, and we take just a tough, solid game and just getting the points at this stage. And yeah, it's all well and good playing good football, but it's all about results at the end of the day, so I think, yeah, we take that all day and tomorrow, Saturday night, just get a result. Yeah, obviously, of course, it's not where we want to be, like, but it's a long season, you know, it's still a lot of games to be played and all that, so we've full confidence in ourselves. We've got a great squad, good players. We all believe it's going to come right. So we're not getting too frustrated at the moment yet. Like, so yeah, we'll just have to keep going, keep believing that we'll climb the table. Like, I haven't seen much of Shelton last year, so I think we'll probably just look at ourselves more than anything. Continue doing what we're good at, playing football, and try and win the game, I suppose. As you're saying, like, Shelton, I suppose, they wanted the so-called big clubs, like, so we'll to get one over them Saturday will obviously give us good a huge lift. So we'll be going up to try and win the game, obviously, I suppose. Yeah.
Stuart, can I ask you, how much does luck, I suppose, play into your run so far this season? Because, I mean, like, you're unlucky against Cork City opening day, unlucky with the red card a couple of weeks ago, unlucky last week to concede late. How much does luck play into this, and do you feel like your luck is due to change?
So, I think someone said to me the other day that if I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck. So, you know, it's, you know, and we can laugh and joke about those, but, you know, I'm a believer that you make your own luck. You know, like, if you don't shoot, you'll never get a deflection. You know those kind of things. If you don't go into the box, you'll never get a penalty. You know, so those kind of things we've got to believe in ourselves. Yes, I don't think we've had the bounce of the ball and at times for and against. You know, that's the way it is. You know, and then, you know, someone else said to me, you know, use up all your bad luck now, and then the rest of the season you get the good luck. So, you know, there's all those sayings and things. But I think, as I said, you know, I think you make your own luck by doing the right things and doing them properly. And then, you know, the referee makes decisions, you know, for or against you. You know, if we're stood off someone, we're never going to get a penalty. You know, those kind of things. So you've got to make those things happen to get that rub of the green, and hopefully we can start getting a bit of that light. Yeah.
Darren, you mentioned the word frustration a while ago. I mean, like, how have you found? There we go, radio professional, yeah. Rory O'Hagan right here. Darren, you mentioned the word frustration a while ago. I mean, like, how have you found it as a squad? Have you had chats amongst yourselves? I mean, like, and what's the mood been like in training heading into this weekend?
Yeah, I suppose we talking and all that, but of course it's frustrating, but we're happy with how we're playing. You know, it's just like Shu said, we need to start making our own luck and all that. We just need to start scoring on the other side. It's kind of been in both boxes, really. We're probably happy with how we're playing in between both boxes, but it's the defending side and probably taking our chances then. So we, as players, we still believe in, like, we're as good as any team on the day, so we're not getting too carried away. Yeah, we're still fully confident that we can make playoffs at least, you know.
And for yourself, Darren, obviously coming back into the team, how have you found it, kind of resettling yourself back into Ramblers, and how have you found yourself, or how would you rate your own performances, I suppose, this season?
Yeah, obviously I'm delighted to be back. You know, I spent almost a year out of the league, and I wanted to come back straight away. So I think I started off well. I was playing decent up, but I picked up kind of a frustrating injury there with my Achilles, so it's kind of set me back a small bit. So I'm just focused on getting back fit now and trying to get back in the team, you know.
That is Cove Ramblers midfielder Darren Murphy, and indeed Cove Ramblers boss Stuart Ashton, chatting to Roar during the week ahead of tonight's Cove versus Shelburne game. Ramblers taking on Shells at 7 o'clock. So kick off there in about 10 minutes time down at St. Coleman's Park. Now, the FA Cup still ongoing. There is 77 minutes on the clock now, and Leicester still 1-0 up on Chelsea there. Tielemans with the goal in that game. We're going to talk about football now and the rest of the games across the weekend, the Premier League games, including the West Ham and West Ham Brighton game tonight, and all the games tomorrow and so on as well. And we're joined by the legendary Ronnie Whelan. I caught up with Ronnie earlier on and asked him about all the games during the weekend, but also I started off by asking him about Man City finally being crowned champions again during the week.
Yeah, more than well deserved. Magnificent squad of players. A magnificent squad of players who the manager's got all on side. You know, it's not like he puts the same 11 out every week. He chops and changes and brings players in and leaves others on the bench. And he's worked it very, very well. He's won the league, and he's a couple of cup finals to come up as well.
I was actually finding it interesting during the week because Solskjaer got a bit of grief for fielding 10 changes, almost a second string team. Still quite a strong team against Leicester during the week, and he got a bit of flack for fielding a weakened team. But Man City are chopping and changing like that every week, albeit they have a stronger squad. So it's kind of harsh having to go off Solskjaer then, isn't it?
No, not really. Unless you mess up Liverpool.
Don't say that.
Yeah, no. Klopp has come out as well, hasn't he? Klopp's come out and said he would have done the same. Yeah, it doesn't help Liverpool, really. But no, I think managers now, the amount of games they have, he's got 3 games in 5 days. He has to chop and change. I just wished he would have rested everyone against Aston Villa rather than against Leicester. Off them as well, they look better while the pressure is off. Ings is back in the team now, gets a couple of goals. You always want your goal scorer in, which is the problem Fulham have got. They can't score goals, and they let goals in. So for me, I think Southampton will win that one.
Brighton West Ham then on Saturday evening. Brighton nothing to play for, West Ham very much with something to play for. They're very much still in the running for the top four along with a couple of other teams, and they've had a phenomenal season. Do you think that they'll have enough to beat Brighton?
Brighton are very, very difficult to play at home. I said it before about Brighton, they play some great football in games. And I think this will be a draw. I think West Ham, I don't think they'll have enough to go there. Although they are fighting for Champions League places, I think West Ham will do enough. Brighton will do enough to hold them to a draw.
Quite a few more games then across the weekend. We'll look at the rest of the games on Sunday. The first one up on Sunday, Ronnie, is Palace against Villa. Again, two teams with nothing much to play for, but they'll both be happy with another season in the Premier League. And I mean, they've both done all right this season by their standards. How do you see that one going?
Yeah, I was reading a bit about it earlier. Crystal Palace looks like they're going to get rid of Roy Hodgson, doesn't it, at the end of the season? Mm. He's done a magnificent job for me at Crystal Palace with the players he has at the football club. It would be a nice send-off if he could go off with a win, but I'm not too sure. For me, that is, again, is for me, is going to be a draw because there's nothing between them, really. Villa started so well but dropped away, as you could imagine, because of the amount of in the squad they have. But I think that'll be a score draw, actually.
You mentioned Roy Hodgson. I mean, he's had a wonderful managerial career. Crystal Palace is his local side. And I mean, he's done a great job with them, but I suppose he's 74, pushing 75 now at this stage. So, I mean, this will probably be his last job, you'd imagine, wouldn't it?
We probably said his last job was his last job. You know what I mean? But he wants to be involved in it. Over 70, he's loved every minute of it, I'm sure. People you talk to say he's just a great fella. He's done well as a manager all over the world. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll stay in the game in some capacity.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice if he went off with a win.
Spurs and Wolves then at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Spurs really have fallen away, really, haven't they, Ronnie? I mean, if you look at Spurs back at Christmas time, they were top of the league just before Christmas, and Mourinho was supposedly doing a great job, everyone thought. Then it just went downhill from there. Mourinho's been sacked, and really, like, they've fallen away, and you'd wonder what's next for Spurs, wouldn't you? Obviously, they'll be looking for a new manager in the summer, but hopes of the top four have faded now as well.
Yeah, you would have thought they'd be looking for a new manager. Who's out there? I'm sure they've got their eye on someone. I'm sure they had their eye on someone. When Mourinho was gone, if we see a manager coming out of a job at the end of the season, you'll probably think to yourself, well, that could be the new Tottenham manager. Yeah, they have gone back a bit, but I still think they've got enough to win this game against Wolves, who their season's also petered out a bit as well, hasn't it? They were up there 6th, 5th, and then they've dropped off as well. So Spurs at home, yeah, and if they get Bale and Kane and Son and more of these people in the game, they'll win it fairly easy.
West Brom and Wolves then is the half four, or West Brom and Liverpool, sorry, is the half four game on Sunday. And West Brom relegated. Big Sam couldn't keep him up. We thought he might have a bit of a better go off it than he did. Liverpool, as we mention every week, Ronnie, I mean, they've had a very disappointing season as defending champions, but they're still there, thereabouts, pushing for the top four in the last couple of games. It is going to be difficult for them to get in there. But I mean, I think no matter what, even if they finish fourth, it'll be viewed as a disappointing season, won't it?
Yeah, to be fair, very disappointing. Yes, there are circumstances we all know about, COVID and pandemics and whatever, but other teams have gone through that as well, and they've shown better. You look at Man United, all throughout the season have been way better than Liverpool, but I think Liverpool players are just wanting to get this season over with. It's a hard one to call. West Brom can just play with with freedom, just go about the game. A lot of freedom. Liverpool still a little bit nervous about top four, so it's a hard one to call. You'd have to think Liverpool could win the game, but we've said that a few times against teams near the bottom this season, and we've come unstuck.
Then it's Everton and Sheffield United on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Everton had a good win last week against West Ham. West Ham would have been the favourites for that game. And Everton have had a pretty good season under Carlo Ancelotti by their standards. Sheffield United have had a horrendous season, relegated a few weeks ago. You'd probably have to fancy Everton there, wouldn't you, Ronnie?
Yeah, you would. Sheffield United players now just as well hoping for the end of the season to come as quickly as possible so they can get away, have a holiday, come back refreshed and then try and get promoted back into the Premiership next season. Everton, as you said, had a great win, so puts them right back up there in the running again. So this should be 3 points for Everton, which will keep the pressure on the teams around them.
Just to mention for the Championship playoff semi-finals quickly, Ronnie, you're on Monday as well. Barnsley versus Swansea, Bournemouth versus Brentford. Who would you fancy out of those four clubs to come up there?
For me, sneaking feeling Bournemouth will be the ones that will come up. They've been through this before, Bournemouth. They've been in the Premiership for a good few years. I think they'll have the experience to get through it all and go up.
Great stuff. Busy weekend of football and the second last weekend. Ronnie, enjoy the weekend, enjoy the football, and we'll chat to you next week.
Thanks, Colm. Speak to you soon.
Ronnie Whelan, and we'll chat to him again on the show for the last weekend of the Premier League season next week. The FA Cup now 84 minutes, only 6 minutes left at Wembley. It is still Leicester 1-0 up on Chelsea there. Tielemans' goal giving Leicester the lead. So will they hold on for their first ever FA Cup? We shall see over the next less than 10 minutes, I suppose, at Wembley. That is me out of time and us out of time for this evening. We were hoping to chat Athletics as well, but we'll hold that over till Rory tomorrow evening. Rory as well tomorrow evening from 6. We'll have all the reaction, of course, to the Cork Hurlers tonight against Tip. Best of luck to the Rebels against Tip tonight up in Semple Stadium in the National Hurling League. That is us out of time. Stevie G on the way. Rory's here tomorrow from 6.
The Big Red Bench. Game on. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.